there and welcome to the Heed Army podcast. I've just got a message here from another potential guest that we may be having on tonight. But tonight is a fully loaded show for you tonight. As you can see along the bottom there, we've got friend of the show and gated fan, comedian Gavin Webster will be joining us, GFC ladies manager Simon Johnson. And we'll be talking about the two games that have been since we were last on and preview Boston away. And of course, we want all of your messages fully interactive. And we've got a message already, and that is from Mason Ford. So you can do as Mason's done, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. We can bring your messages like that. And nice to see Blythe getting beat. Yes, it certainly is. Charles Woff, who I still mean to get in contact with about putting a page on the Heed Army website, which if you haven't been to yet, please do visit. There you go, heedarmy.com. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But before we start, you may have noticed that we have had new titles added there to the show. We'd like to say a big thank you to Craig Langstaff. Of course, if anyone recognises the name, it's Macaulay's dad. He's a big fan of the show, so it's lovely that he's took the time to make us such a professional looking intro there. It looks like it could have been on Sky Sports or Match of the Day. So we thank him very much, and he's been giving us lots of tips on YouTube as well, so very much appreciated. And he's given us a little video to play at the end as well. So yeah, we'll be doing that. I've just got 1 second. Right, Gavin will be with us very soon, which is fantastic. I'm just going to quickly play an advert so I can quickly message someone that may be coming on to the show. So this is, I'll play out this one. Like and subscribe, everybody.
This is Danny Greenfield. He doesn't know he's being watched at the moment, but we know he's subscribing to the Heed Army podcast. He's also following us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can do the same. But Danny, the camera is always watching.
Oh, that's a lovely picture of Danny Greenfield I've just took. What's that? Danny, man, keep your legs together. Oh, no, I can't use this.
That's right, Danny. Keep them clever. Keep them together.
Well, there we go. Sorry about that. We went straight into that before we got on. I've managed to secure an Australian fan that's coming over. I've seen on the Heed Army Facebook page that he was coming over. He was inquiring about tickets. So I reached out to him, and it looks like he's going to be joining us in 45 minutes, so live from Australia. So that's going to be Gary Coleman, I think it is there. And Blythe have just had a goal wiped out. They're losing 2-0. Hello to the Unibond, or whatever it's called these days, for Blythe Spartans fans. You're plummeting, absolutely plummeting. Right, just having a look here. We've got lots of messages coming in here. I'll quickly rattle through some. Keaton James, good evening, lads. We've got one here from Christopher, Jamie Christopher White. Good evening. There's lots of people interacting. Fantastic. There we go. Look at that. They just keep coming through, Mickey. Are the phone lines open delayed? No. I haven't found the phone. good evening. How are you? It's been this Kieran James Mitchell there. Thank you very much. Up the Heed. And there we go. And we've got a Heed there from him as well. So you can join us as well like that. Absolutely fantastic. Just before we bring in our first guest, we'll play out a message from our sponsors. Please do follow them because see, without them, we wouldn't be able to broadcast like this. And we're going to get right in all the Heed debates and everything else. And we'll have a great chat with Gav very, very shortly. So just after this. Well, there we go. How are you doing, Gav?
Hiya. Hang on. I'll get in more. There you are.
I was enjoying seeing your chins there.
Chins, yeah, that's true. It's no need for that, mate, Gav, is it? Just take that from, like, God, no, I've had worse.
Gav, welcome back to the show, of course. It's been quite the season, hasn't it, since we last spoke to you? We started off on fire when we spoke to you last, and now we're up there to be caught.
Well, it's been quite topsy-turvy. I suppose it wouldn't be a season, would it? It wouldn't be a proper title-winning season if it wasn't close, like, you know. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Are we on a ship, Gav?
He laughed. Oh, there you are. That's better.
There we go. Spot on. Yeah. football on the high season World's End.
One of them things, isn't it? I haven't been any games this season, unfortunately, because of different circumstances. But you know, it's not about me, is it?
Well, listen, at the minute you were a guest, but obviously, I mean, you've been following, obviously, on the road when you're travelling about and seeing scores. Yeah. It just seems to be the norm that we're picking up 3 points at the moment, doesn't it? It's quite a strange feeling.
Well, there's lots of goals are going in on either side as well, aren't there? It's not like it's just your standard late 1970s Liverpool 1-0, 2-0. It's 4-2s and 5-2s and exciting games, isn't it? It's like they're scoring hatfuls of goals, which is exciting, but they always seem to be picking up the wins. Am I right in saying that Brackley's the main threat now?
I mean, I can go through some of the live scores at the moment for the teams that are concerning us. So we'll play Boston on Saturday away. They're looking to get into the playoffs. They're drawing 1-1 at the minute away at Alfreton. Kidderminster, who are probably the only other team that could probably catch us, and Brackley are drawing 0-0 at the minute away to Spennymoor. So we're hoping Spennymoor can kind of wipe them out of the equation tonight with 3 points. So it does look like it's between the top three, but it does more or less, it's a two horse race if there's a draw or a loss tonight for Kidderminster. But still a long way to go, but you know, the way we're playing, and we've still got to play Brackley as well, and that's going to be what a game that's going to be.
Yeah, is that home?
No, away to Brackley. And Brackley have one of the
ones that you get the impression where the points ahead, a draw would be a great result, really, because it just pegs them back, doesn't it? And they run out of games, and just, you know, still ahead of them by whatever points it would be before the game started.
Yeah, and someone else sent us a message here. Thomas Lovejoy is also giving us an update on scores. Telford are beating Fylde away as well. So Fylde, obviously, they were very much in the hunt earlier on in the season. They've dropped away, and new manager, of course. A lot of politics going on Twitter with the new appointment of James Rowe over there after his controversial sacking. Or was it a sacking, or was he put on gardening leave? I can't remember, from Chesterfield for things.
Are they massive spenders, Fylde, as well?
Yeah, well, they just signed Mark Cullen, who had been at Blackpool, Luton. He was at Hartlepool, and in his first game, he did his ACL and a load of other ligaments in his knee. So that's him done for a while. And that was his first game, and that was a big money, you'd think, big money move. So I think they can't really buy themselves anything from here. They're going to have to grind it out. They're going to finish in the playoffs, but they're not going to get up towards the automatic spot. So. But it's really is going. It's going great guns for Gateshead. But I mean, it's got another message from David Tron. Thank you very much. If anyone's got a message for Gav, send them in as well. And one of the main reasons I want to get Gav on is because something's returning this week. Something that I enjoyed going to before lockdown happened, and I was advertising a fair bit on the show. Is the football show is back, isn't it, Gav?
Certainly is. Yes, it's back on Sunday,
and it's a new venue now as well.
Well, it's for this one anyway, but we'll be nomadic now for the next whenever, unless we can find a permanent place. But we'll be anywhere. If any football club wants us to come and do it, we will. But we're at Laurels in Whitley Bay. Don't know if you've ever been. It's a sort of loft theatre bar. So we'll be there on Sunday night, the 20th. So I've done gigs there before. It's good, but I hope the football show is going to be good in there.
Yeah, and who's the guest again that you've got this week?
We've got John Anderson, who obviously a lot of people are here on Radio Newcastle, and a lot of people will remember playing for Newcastle in between 82 and 92. And he played for Preston as well. I think he played also for West Brom in the 70s, but he never made a first-team appearance. And he told me he's got the record reserve appearances record for West Brom. He played something like 90 odd games or something, but reserves.
That's quite the record.
It's not the record you want to have, but you know, it's still a distinction, isn't it?
You can take what you can get in a modern game, really, can't you? it certainly is. But obviously that'd be good stories, isn't it? And I said, tickets, where would people be able to get them, Gav?
you'll be able to go to feltnotes.co.uk and you can get them there. There'll be a link there. If you go to Feltnote, F-E-L-T-N-O-W-T, you go on there. It's one of the second ones that comes out. It says Whitley Beer Club, and there's a show on Saturday, which funnily enough I'm comparing as well. But then the football show's on the Sunday, and you can get tickets from there.
Ah, spot on. And also as well, I feel like I've brought Gavin on just to plug his wares, but he has also got something else that's available.
Are you talking about the book?
Yeah.
I should hold it up, shouldn't I? But they're all inside this box down here, you know. My book, Buddhism and Other Such Rubbish. Shall I try and I'll use this here pair of scissors to cut this.
I'm going to see if I can quickly get a picture of it to put on the screen.
Yes, this is live stuff, folks.
It is. It's live and dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Don't try this at home. I appreciate dead air is terrible, so I'll try and talk as I'm doing it.
We try to get viewers any way we can, and you've got quite a manly back. You put that on display for the ladies. There we go, look at that.
There it is. Buddhism and Other Such Rubbish by me, Gavin Webster. Braggart, Empty Vessels, and Modern Day Arse Talkers. That's what the book is. It's not about Buddhism. Buddhism's a MacGuffin. That's got nothing to do with it. But it's all about people who talk utter shit about things they know very little about. So obviously, nothing to do with this show or anything, by the way.
I was going to say, that summed us up.
Did I?
Well, you know, I'm sure it rings a few bells elsewhere, but no, present company excluded, like, you know.
And obviously, I mean, the football show, if people haven't been before, it's obviously not just about Newcastle United. It's satire, all of the North East clubs.
North East clubs, yeah. We do loads of stuff on every North East club. We do a bit of local lampooning and a bit of satire about football in general, you know. And then we'll get a guest on. And
it must be hard at the minute because there's not much to talk about, is there?
No, not at all. Not a thing. Yeah. I don't know. I forget that this is. You can see what you like on this podcast. You know, I was thinking, oh god, this is. I better be restrained because I'm on the BBC or something. But yeah. No one gives a shit.
Question for you, actually.
I've got a question for you. Your friend on who was on the
from you personally, Mickey, or is this from somebody else?
No, from me.
Sorry.
From the comedy results at the weekend, I was wondering if you'd heard how Dave's knob was, because it was tragically burning last time he spoke.
that was an awkward one, wasn't it?
We've got a message here.
I never know what's coming next from Dave, or the other mysterious people that go on the show. That sound a bit like Dave.
It's always your accent.
I like that turn where he changes the song. They take that song. He's a good act.
Oh yeah, he's just brilliant.
the funniest thing about it is it's true.
The lyrics to the songs, it's just it's genius. I don't know why anybody's never thought of that before.
Of course, that's another thing we'll plug. Gav does a live podcast as well on a Saturday night or Sunday morning, however you look at it, 12 a.m. Live comedy results where comedians ring up and talk about how the gigs have went over the weekend and get a mixed bag, don't you?
That's the polite way of putting it, yeah. I don't know. I sort of now feel for Alan Robson after all these years, you know. I don't know where they go now that he's off the air. What do these people do?
I think he has a show on a Sunday evening. He goes live. He does like this as well. So I think it's on Great North Radio, I think it is. And also he does these ghost hunts, if anyone's seen them, which are genius. It's
moment, right? Happened, well, I was a long time ago. I was quite young. It was in the mid-80s when he was really coming up, or he was talking about night owls. And This lad rang up from a hostel, as the two, you know what I mean? So he was tarting a whole load of nonsense, booting out. Then he just said, oh, before I go on, Alan, right, at the hostel, right, on a morning at breakfast, right, the table next to us, right, they get a fruit juice, but we didn't get a fruit juice, you know? And Alan went, well, why don't you just ask? He went, all right,
I think one of my favourite ones, obviously, is the famous Ross Noble crocodile story in Jesmond Dean. That was a good one.
Oh, yes, famous. That was good.
Yeah, and also I like that, was it the Stephen Petty one when he was on as well, covering for him? Need to get out.
Oh, I know that one.
That's a good one.
I've never heard it.
Go on, Gav, I'll let you tell it.
Okay, hold on. I'll just try and get the name of the because it works better if I know the name of the place. So anyway, Stephen Petty's covering for Alan Robson on Night Owls about, when would it be, about 7 or 8 years ago, when Robson was on holiday. So he's on the phone and he's like, he's not listening to some bloke who's in a bit of trouble, you know, because he's just a massive vanity project for him, being being on the radio. So anyway, this bloke's gone, lost my father the other week, and my mother went last year, you know, and I'm depressed, and I'm speaking to my family, and I'm taking pills, and I'm not good at the minute, I'm not in a good place, you know, and I don't know what to do. And Stephen's not listening, and then like a fucking light bulb comes over Stephen's head. He goes, do you know what you need? A night out. And it just so happens I'm playing the Westovian Theatre in South Wales. So if you want to get a ticket, they're on sale. You know what I mean? He's trying to sell a ticket on the bloke, you know? And the bloke goes, I appreciate that, but not yet. I'm not ready yet to go, you know? And Stephen goes, well, I'm at the stand in me.
Got a question here for you, Gav, from Steve Martin. I don't think it's that Steve Martin, but all right, I'd ask Gav about the Aga Bilk joke.
How do I do that Aga Bilk joke? All right, how explicit do you have to be on this show?
We're trying not to be too explicit. You've already probably said all the swear words for the year.
So anyway, I'll do this as nice as I can. So just say it's George and Mildred, you know, from the 1970s sitcom. George has come home from work and Mildred is in the bath, and she's got a toe stuck in the bath, you know, she's completely naked and she's got a toe stuck in the bath. And she says, "Hey God, George, I was just like doodling and my toe went into the, you know, the plug hole, the tap, and I got stuck." And he says, "Right, okay, well, I'll tell you what, it's very 1970s, this joke, you'll find out. He has me bowler hat, I'll use that to cover you up, you know, the most vital part, you know, between the legs. I'm trying to be as nice as I can, yeah. So I'll use me bowler hat to cover you up, and I'll phone the plumber." Anyway, the plumber turns up, you know, flat captain of Woodbine, and he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I can get your wife's toe out the tap, but I can do fuck all for Aga Bilk."
Oh, man. What a banter.
No, you've got to be of a certain age to get that. Then yeah. 50, right? Aga Bilk had a big beard and he had a bowler hat and he played the
Oh, man.
Take a punchline that says, "I can do fuck all for Aga Bilk." Why I asked that, because I think I made a tour of that joke on the comedy results, I think
you made a joke.
Anyway, that was tasteful enough, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was spot on.
That's me at my night.
How do we follow that? But we'll definitely try it. Gav, thanks for coming on. And what time is it again on Sunday at Laurels?
It is 8 p.m. on Sunday at Laurels.
Okay, that's spot on. I think I'll be
seeing
it. So spot on.
If you have that Newcastle persuasion, you've got to ask Ozzy Ardiles his opinion, and or his opinion on Ozzy Ardiles.
Really? Is there a hereby hang a tail?
I'm not going to. I wouldn't spoil it, but it is funny. I've heard Andor before. It's really funny.
Really, right? Oh, I will ask. He had an opinion on Tommy Doherty because Tommy Doherty was his manager at Preston, and that was funny. But yes, I will do, mate.
Okay, Tommy. Yeah. Well, that's great. Thanks, Gavin. I'll see you soon.
Take care, Gav.
Thanks, lads. Cheers, thank you. Bye. There we go, Gav. Fantastic to have him on. And dropping a few F-bombs for us as well. right, so let's go through. We've got lots of messages coming here while we have Gav on as well. Shields are losing, by the way. I think they still are. There's been a red card for Boston as well. Get in. That may be good for us on Saturday. Sam Pendleton has put a fantastic win over Kidderminster, seeing us score 4 goals. In truth, could have been more, followed up by a great win away to Gloucester. 2 more goals for Langstaff. He's a top goal scorer. And I have actually got something to put up on the screen on that, actually. If you're not already... Yeah, I've seen that. I'll get that up in a second. I'll get all that message off. So there you go. There's the goals around the team so far this season. Macaulay Langstaff, 21. Kedwin's got 18. And Campbell, if we can get on to one more goal for Campbell, four strikers in double figures. Try and find that in any of the top leagues around the world. It's just amazing.
I can't think unless someone like Chelsea or Man City. I just can't think of another club that's had 4 strikers at double figures in the season.
It's definitely not a Gated. I know that. I'll just update people on scores around because obviously there's a few games affecting us. Obviously, Boston are still 1-1. Spennymoor are 0-0. And looking further down the league, South Shields are throwing it away, losing 1-0 to Lancaster away. So the Kevin Phillips effect hasn't really had much of an effect, you would say there. We're going to play a little advert out. Remember, the cups are available. We haven't been because we haven't had a home game since we got them. But if you want a Heed Army podcast mug, see how it improves your life.
Hey, you. Are you sick of drinking out of that same old cup? Does your drinks taste awful in it? Don't be glum. We've got something for you that'll make it taste better. And here it is, the new Heed Army podcast mug. Look at it in all its glory. It even comes with a box. Ooh. You can order yours now for only £7. Go on, help support the podcast with the new Heed Army podcast mug.
There we go. Also, one of the scores I've forgot to mention there is that Blythe are getting beat 3-1 away to Guiseley. I think looks like Dom Tier scored for Guiseley as well. So there we go. Oh, sorry, scored for Blythe. Someone had put it in the wrong way, I thought. Oh, no, apparently Dale scored for Blythe, so people are correcting themselves in the chat. But yeah, so worrying times for them, but long may it continue. I say we are going to be joined by Simon Johnson, GFC Ladies Manager, will be coming on very soon. So we're looking forward to talking to him. He's been at training tonight, and you were at the game on the weekend, Mickey, and we'll get into that. Just before we bring him on, let's just there was no commentary on Saturday, so it was a game where we had to follow it through Twitter updates and Facebook updates, but the lads went down there, scored another 4 goals. It was a little bit hairy at one point when it was 2-2, but they've pulled it out of the bag, and it's been a convincing win in the end.
Just keep doing it, haven't it? And another 2 of the fantastic 4 got in the goals, and Greg Ollie nicked another one, and it's amazing, man. It's just hopefully we can continue this till the end of the season.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, is it 10 games now or 11 games we've got left? It's To be in this position is fantastic, but it's the added pressure of being up there to be caught now. It was TFA Blythe. Just one second, we've got a message here. Don Tier was only at Blythe for a month early in the season, so he did score for Geisley, former Gateshead Loney player there. So, yeah, but no, back to Gateshead, they went down there as well. Let's not forget plastic pitch as well. Although Gateshead do have the training facilities for a plastic pitch, it wouldn't have been that much of a change for them. But, you've got to look at all of these things and going away and winning 4-2. I know Gloucester aren't having the greatest of seasons, but just to keep that pressure up and scoring the goals, because earlier in the week, Brackley won 5-0 against Geisley. They head into that goal difference somewhat in that result.
That's it. I mean, I actually listened to the guys in the game, actually, and they were absolutely awful by the sounds of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it was 4-0, I just switched up. I thought, I should have switched off after 2-0, but I always wanted to hear what the commentators were saying, because guys who commentators were absolutely depressed as hell.
They weren't making orgasmic screams.
No, they weren't. Unless it was at the defending. All the fans are getting nervous as hell, but the players aren't. They don't seem to be. They just remain professional and keep doing the job, doesn't it?
Well, much like all the season, it's a calm process. They believe in what they're doing. It doesn't matter if they fall a goal behind or go level. It's still the same. They know they can create chances. And obviously, that picture we put before off Gateshead social media, the goals scored, I think that's just league goals as well, isn't it? It isn't cup goals. So, it just shows you that the firepower's there. It's just I think the drive's definitely there. We know that. It's just hopefully, we don't get any injuries, no silly sentence off. And, we've got more than a chance going in any game.
Definitely. Conor Malley come into the team and by all accounts had a really good game.
Yeah.
He was a Borough fan who said he's a really good footballer. So, hopefully it does him the world of good now.
Well, we'll obviously get to see the best of him. The player, people that were down there, if you were at Gloucester, send us a message. I know there's another great thing as well that's happening this weekend, is that there's a full bus and there's people putting the names down for another bus to go down to Boston. So there'll be some fantastic support down there, which is going to be, another added bonus to the lads going down. We've got one here from David Tron. The Boston game will be tricky, but I think we can win them two home game, win the two home games, the momentum keep going, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, the two home games after that one, I've got my notes written down here. I'm professional this week. We've got Curzon National at home and then Bradford Park Avenue at home as well. Curzon, no pushovers whatsoever. I know we had a good result against Bradford earlier in the season in the FA Cup, where we have it, was it 6-2 or 6-3?
Yeah, beat them 4-2 in their place.
Yeah, a lot of teams battling down that end of the table. It's not going to be an easy game, no game's easy. We know that at the minute. I know some of the scorelines might state otherwise, but Greg Ollie scoring there.
We only won 1-0, but we battered them as well. I mean, some of the lads who were doing the company come out at half time when I was walking around for a cup of coffee, and he says, "How the hell are you only 1-0 up?"
Yeah, it seems to have been the way. Just to go through updating the score into the last 5 minutes in some of the games, AFC failed, as I've just said, as I was reading this out, have just equalised at home to Telford. It's 1-1 between Alfred and Boston. Blythe getting beat 3-0. 0-0 between Spennymoor and Kidderminster. York 0-0 with Curzon Ashton. So results kind of going our way. A draw for Kidderminster at Spennymoor does us no harm whatsoever. That just makes the gap that little bit bigger for them they've only got one game in hand after that.
That's it. I mean, if I'd have hit a wretched run of form, I mean, I'm hoping that Brackley hit one and all.
It would be nice, just a stumbling block, but I think there's going to be some twists and turns in this. It's not going to be straightforward.
It's not going to be straightforward because this at times this league just throws you a loop, doesn't it?
I mean, look at Telford, they held us, didn't they? You know, so it's just one of them things. You kind of take any game for granted. In league position at the minute, there's only a couple of teams that are mid-table that have got nothing to play for. Nearly everyone else has got something to play for, whether to secure a playoff spot or try and get a few places extra away from the relegation zone. So, but it's only one team, isn't it, that goes down this season. So, yeah. You know, but it's still tight down there, still tight. So, but we are going to be joined by Simon Johnson shortly when he gets back from training. And we'll get to talk about GFC Ladies, because we haven't been able to talk about them much lately. And Mickey, you're down at the game, so you'll be able to talk about that with Simon. Right, so there we go. Just to say, great highlights as well, once again, by Jack McGragan, doing a fantastic job with the pitch side highlights, the King Kobe highlights. Let's give them the proper thing there. We've got some... Actually, I've got a message on Twitter here. Someone watching for the first time. Because the Twitter messages don't come through. Well, we don't broadcast to Twitter anymore because the messages weren't coming through. But we did have a message from the Langster. He's put, listening for the first time, going on Saturday with my son up the Heed. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And Thomas Lovejoy, he's put, the comfort with Brackley matches that we don't really... lose to them. We know we can win against them, so looking forward to it. Look, Brackley's got one of the toughest defences in the league, one of the tightest defences. You know, they don't concede many. I think, has it 20 clean sheets have kept this season, or 21 clean sheets?
I don't know how many clean sheets have actually kept, but I know of the 18 have conceded, 3 were off us and 3 were off Darlow.
Yeah, so that tells you everything. So, but it's going to be a tough game. It'll be one of them games. Well, it's the games you live for, isn't it? You'd rather go into a game wanting to win the league than get into the playoffs, wouldn't you? So it's all to play for. We've got a message from John Laverick. Saturday is huge, 3 points needed. That leaves 6 of the last 10 games at home. It's in our hands. It is, but it's going to be tight. We're just waiting for Simon to switch his camera on and get into the stream. So what we'll do is we'll play...
It is, John. It's as exciting as it is nerve-wracking.
It certainly is. We're going to play a couple of adverts here, and then hopefully Simon will be with us when he comes, when we come back. One second, I'll get rid of that message first, and then we'll get into them. There we go. Well, Simon is, I think he's in a car park at the minute. One second, here he is. There he is. He's got a red, I don't know if that's an indicator or a red light flashing there, but how are you doing, Simon?
I'm all right yourselves, gents.
Not too bad.
All of that. You're not driving, are you?
No, I'm a passenger, but me assistant Gaffer's driving.
That's the way to do it. Simon, you know, hard fought win on Saturday, but you came through it on in the end.
On Penn,
Sunday, sorry.
Yeah, to be fair, it was one of those games where probably 2, 3, maybe 4 players kind of weren't at it, which kind of isn't helpful. But obviously, we're not going to have every week where everybody's going to be on it 100%. And I think it should. But I think, again, on another day, we probably had enough chances to win the game. And it's just one of those things that we've not really had the momentum since January. We've only played about 4 games, 5 games at most. So it's tough to play one week, miss one, then, you know, and try and get momentum. So Sunday, cup football, at the end of the day, we won. So happy in terms of that. Like,
yeah. Who do you know who you've got in the next round? Can you hear us, Simon?
Not being drawn yet, but I'd imagine they'll probably put over like one of the top teams. I'd imagine to try and maybe cause a bit of an upset. My guess would probably be we'll end up against Hartlepool, Pools Youth Ladies. We were top of the league. That's my guess. If we get somebody else, and fair enough, but not really too fussed till we get. We've got to beat them anyway, so it's just another game, isn't it?
It is. I mean, obviously, you mentioned obviously that I think the fixture has been decimated by weather, unfortunately. But is there going to be a backlog of games there where you're going to be playing midweek coming soon, or will it all be able to be fulfilled on a Sunday?
Yeah, so I think as it stands, we've got two penciled in towards the end of April and the start of May for a Thursday night. And I think we'll probably end up playing another two or three, because out of everybody in the league, we've played the least amount of games. I think we've only played 13, which means we've got 11 games to fit in between now and sort of the end of May, which isn't ideal in one sense, but again, it means if we play two games a week, you know, it'll probably be good experience for the girls and some of that, just another challenge that we've got to try and cope with.
And also as well, playing two games in a week, the chance to get this bone as well. So obviously, I'm sure you've worked some hard in training, but playing every other few days, if you're playing well, it's something that players like, isn't it, if you're winning games?
Yeah, I think, obviously, touching back on Sunday, for a coaching point of view, it was a really good game to watch because, you know, we've drew, and on reflection, it gave us a lot to work on, and I think it was a little bit of a reminder for the ladies themselves in terms of when we're not in our standards, it's sort of consistency and complacency, which, you know, it kind of gives other teams a chance to maybe cause an upset or nick a result. So I think the big thing is if we're going to be playing games, it means we can just get at it and get cracking. And, you know, for me, training's great because we can work on things, but that comes from our games on a Sunday, what we need to get better at, what we can get, what we can keep working on and what we can improve on.
And I'll let Mickey ask some questions because he was at the game more than me.
Actually spoke the same. And the first question I've got to ask you is, I think you should start putting Dion on penalties.
Dion's on penalties, haven't I, Chris?
Definitely not.
No, I'm only saying this because I think Jamie's word gets lighter every goal she scores, so can't you go on penalties?
To be fair, on Sunday I picked the penalty takers, so I picked me five and picked the order. And kind of my reasoning behind that was because I kind of take the responsibility if I miss. You know, obviously Jade Halliday went first and you'd probably back your house for Jade Halliday to score. But equally, when players missing a penalty shootout, I take the responsibility because I pick the pen takers. So I think it's just one of those things trying to ease the pressure. And for me, I had one of my best penalty takers down to six and Liv Black. It was probably a little bit annoyed with us. But it's being prepared. So if Jess had a missed, then Liv was in at six. You know what I mean? So it's like the psychology of penalties. I've looked in a fair bit of it. And obviously Sunday we'll come out on top.
Well, Dion, but cheers, Simon and Chris.
Ask her about finishing tonight if she's got any problems.
was she not at the races there? Was she not?
No, it was all right, to be fair. I think she just needs a bit more confidence. She's got a good strike on her. And there's a few like that kind of shy away, which, you know, there's a few opportunities. There's quite a few. Probably should have a few goals if they just have the confidence, you know, not just Dion, probably Libby as well. There's another example. Mickey, you'll know her too well.
How has Libby West not scored this season? The talent that young lass has got.
We need to keep that one quiet about a talent.
The scoreline that does kind of affect Gator a little bit. Spennymoor drew 0-0 with Kidderminster Harriers tonight. So that game in hand was not used to full effect by Kidderminster. So I think everyone kind of consensus says it's a two-horse race. But as long as it's mathematical, never rule anything out. But that's definitely a result that went Gator's way tonight.
Simon, you were down Gloucester the other day, 5:30 in the morning, back at 11:30, are you?
No, we went down on the Friday night.
Oh, was it?
So we did an overnighter. So we went down about 12:30 on the Friday. And we got there about 6:30 with a stop, which was good because Sonia, who's the club sec, left at about 1:30 and didn't get there till about 9:10 o'clock because of the traffic. I think, to be fair to the club and the board and that, they're back in the first team in terms of doing things properly. And, you know, because a 5:30 trip in the morning wouldn't have been a great one. And the journey back, even though we won, was a bit of a tough journey back anyways because it was long, but made obviously a bit happier because we'd won.
Definitely, definitely. But obviously, we'll go down to Boston, who I think drew tonight. Never an easy place to go. They probably haven't had the season they expected. Signed some, you know, decent players in the summer, but saying that, you know, they had a man sent off for a straight red by the looks of it. I don't know if that's confirmed. You can't always trust these apps. But look, going into Saturday, you'd say it was straight red. That would be a suspension for Saturday. You would hope it's one of the key players. You've got to look at things like that going at this stage of the season.
To be fair, we've just spoke. I think Chris said it was one of the centre-halves. But to be fair, because I do a lot of the analysis for the first team and clips for Mike Busty and Louis. And even watching Kidderminster, like, since the FA Cup run, they've obviously won games, but they weren't great. And on our day, we're unplayable. And I back us, like the management and the players back themselves, to beat anybody. And, you know, we beat Kidderminster 4-0. And there's no reason why we can't just keep that mentality. And I know people probably get sick of hearing it on interviews, but it's just literally for us, it's like the next game. And whether that's with the first team, with the men's or the ladies, it's just all about the next game and having that mentality of, yeah, we've had a great win, right? So just got to like kind of back down to earth and just get back on with the sort of the process.
The last time I was on, obviously we weren't able to do the show last Thursday, but the Thursday before that, I did kind of say that I think Gator's got another gear to go into. We haven't reached a potential this season. I still think that's the case. Even though we beat Kidderminster at home 4-0, I still think there's something special going to come from this team. It's all we've lost them.
I'm still here. Just get myself in the house.
Oh, he's hiding where he lives. Clever, clever. I do think there's still a lot more to come from this squad. That by no means have we tapped its potential, I don't think.
Sounds like he's running up the stairs.
on his door. Right, there we go. I think we're back.
Honestly, I've just made it in time with me phone on charge.
Oh, there we go. That's what it was. No, I think this by no means has this squad tapped its potential yet.
Nah, I think, but like we've went through large parts of the season where we've had key players missing. You know, we've had Dan Ward just come back in, and it's been a revelation. We've had obviously Danny Greenfield come in, and you know he's missed out the last couple of games. He's probably itching, and I think it's a good time now where we've got the squad where it's really competitive, and you know there's some key players missing out, like Connor Panny, which is difficult. But for me, it's just the lads are just so good; they'll just get on with it. So whether they're not playing, like the other week, Nicker wasn't playing, and he was probably the best sort of cheerleader in terms of the player that you need just backing you up. So he was on the bench, but he played a pivotal role in making sure we got the 3 points when we played the other week. So it just obviously it's like that squad game, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I would say that there doesn't seem to be any egos, at least not when playing. Say there's a selfless to a fault at times. I mean, obviously it shows by the goals around, but the being selfish at the right times, aren't they? That's the key thing I would take from our attacking lineup. Of course, take a dig if you're in the box, but a lot of the times we've laid it off for the more sensible option.
Yeah, and you know, like you watch them in training. It's such a good group. It's probably one of the best groups I've seen, in other clubs that I've been involved in. It's probably the best group of players that I've seen that are all working together as one. And you know, there is no individuals, there is no egos. And like I say, there's players that are disappointed not to be playing, which is what you need. But then they get behind the lads. And like I say, I've been involved in other clubs where players aren't in the squad and not bothered. They're just about themselves. And I think that's why we are where we are. And hopefully we get to where we want to be come the end of the season. And I think, you know, the way the management have the ethos embedded with the players, there's no reason why we can't.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Simon, thank you very much for chatting us.
I know we've got Sunday, Simon.
Oh, yeah, before that.
Hopefully, we've got Durham United, which is a team that we played earlier on in the season. We drew 1-1. It was a game where we probably created quite a lot, but didn't really take the chances. It was that little sticky patch around about, I think it was September time, where I think we were still obviously fairly new as a group and we had quite a few new players coming in, and we drew 1-1. I think then, yeah, the bottom of the table. But again, not to sound like a broken record, but it's just about us. It's about how we get our standards in the process and get playing our football. And hopefully then the result takes care of itself.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Simon, thank you very much, because I know obviously you've come on straight after training and we really do appreciate it. We'll definitely have you on before the end of the season, and good luck with all the rest of the games, and to all the ladies as well. They're doing us proud as well as you are as well. And also your work with the first team. Keep it up. And and the academy. Yeah, I say he's a busy man. thank you. We'll speak to you soon.
No problem, but I just want to say that's probably the most sensible conversation I've had with you two ever.
I was thinking that myself, you know.
I know, I was thinking.
Oh, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
Have the best. I'll see you Sunday.
Yes, Simon.
No, but I'll catch you later. All the best, fellas. Thank you.
Bye. Simon Johnson there, GFC ladies manager. A big thank you to him. Now, we've got a message from Dave Allen here. He's put, the lads have looked amazing in training, of course. Dave Allen, kit man. Dave did message me today, and I didn't forget, but there is going to be a quiz night on the 7th of April at Pelaw Social Club. It's for the to help with the Gated Inspired Support team to get to the Costa Blanca. They're trying to raise the funds to get that team into that international tournament with such teams as Juventus, Real Madrid, all of their teams as well. And to have Gated in an international tournament like that would be amazing. Not for the club, for the players, because that's what it's about in this instance. It's all about the players and the experience they will gain from this, and on their path in their journey. So please do get into it. It's going to be a night of fun and celebration. Gator FC Inspired Sport Ambassador Adam Campbell and first team players join this exclusive fundraiser event. There'll be a fun quiz, card bingo, as well as awards presented to the disability team Inspired Sport. It's £2 on the door, and it'll be easier. What's up? So, and you'll be entered into a raffle ticket as well for KZFC merchandise. So get yourself along there. 7th of April. It's on a Thursday night. We'll probably move the podcast. I think it would be the right thing to do, so we can get everyone down there. We might even record some interviews down there as well. I think that would be a good thing to do with the people from Inspired Support there. I think that would be great to get this team to the Costa Blanca Cup and have them wearing the Gator badge with pride. And I think the pride will be with the club having these players representing them out there. So everyone involved in that, big well done. And Adam Campbell as well, being taking on an ambassador role with that, is amazing. Lovely lad. We'll hope to have him on the podcast in the coming weeks. We'll try and get some of the players on. But we don't want to be too much of a pest when we're going into this hard part of the season. I reached out to somebody who, a lad from Australia. I don't know if he's an expat or not. His name is Gary Palmer. So hopefully he'll be joining us very soon. If he's watching, I'll just send him a message. Can't come on now. There we go. So say a truly international podcast. If we can get another person on from Australia, it'd be great. He's coming over, I think, for the next home game. So we'll hopefully have Gary on, and we'll find out about how he supports Gateshead and how he discovered us and everything else in between. So send in them messages, send in them predictions as well. We're going to play out a little video. Say we'll thank our sponsors once more, because say without them, we wouldn't be here. There we go. And we're about to be joined by Gazza. Here he is. Hello, the Gazza. How are you doing?
G'day. It's a lovely sunny morning here in Sydney.
Yeah, I see. I didn't know if you were an expat or not, or if you were over there and had relations in Gates or whatever, but I'm guessing by the accent, of course, you're from here.
Yeah, well, I've been, I used to live in the Fellin, and I was, you know, first went and saw Gates in the early 70s. I used to walk along the bypass and sit on the hill and watch for free with my dad. I really still feel a bit bad about that. You know, the guy used to come out of the old Cinder truck with a megaphone saying, get in, pay your money and come and watch, you know. And I suppose I indirectly contributed to the demise of Gacy at that stage. But then South Shields came along and, you know, I used to go along there every week that I could and follow the lads, you know. But then I actually moved up to High Hewith. And so, you know, and until the metro was built, it was a bit of a long walk down the hill and along the bypass again. And on the nighttime matches, of course, like, you know, getting back in the dark past the old Foul Tavern was a bit scary, you know. So, but then I moved to, then I, you know, a lot of this is apocryphal, of course, I think. But, you know, I remember the days of Terry Hibbett and John Tudor and that. And I was sure I was there when they won the 100-point Northern Premier League. But when I think back, like, I lived in London at the time, so I must have been a few years. It must have been a few years later when they won the Northern Premier League again that I was there for the final match of the season. Anyway, I moved to Australia 30 years ago. But I came back to the UK for 10 years in the middle. But I lived in Preston, and believe it or not, like, I'm a sort of, ever since I was a little lad, I've sort of followed Preston North End, and I ended up living there, you know. And I followed them, I think the expression is, through thin and thin over the years. So, anyway, but Gates has always been sort of my hometown club and the team that I've always followed, you know. And when we lived in Preston, you know, I used to go and watch them at Burscough and Southport, Fleetwood, places like that. And every weekend, if I'd gone up to see me, mum, dad, when he was alive, I'd pop in to see them, you know. And just before I came back to Australia about 9 years ago, you know, it was that terrible season when they were playing home games in Boston and Middlesbrough, and I went to see them play Luton at Carlisle, which was one of the greatest afternoons I've ever had out in my life. You know, I think it was 5-1 or 5-0, I can't remember. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. You know? Then I was there for the Ebb Street game at the Riverside, last game of the season, you know, and it was just confirmed that they would be staying up, and I think I saw Graham Wood crying that day, so, yeah. So anyway, you know, it's been a bit difficult the last few years, with the COVID stuff, and I normally get back over in the summer. So, you know, I didn't get to see much football during the summer. But this is the first chance to get back now. And I'm coming to see my mother. She lives in Wall's End now. I've already got my tickets for Curzon Ashton. I'll be at Bradford Park Avenue. I'll be at Darlington. I'll be at the Chester game.
Fantastic.
As much as I can, yeah. So I do try to, like, sort of, you know, I'll buy a couple of programmes and I'll buy a hat, even if I don't need one, just to make up for those days when I didn't pay when I sat on the hill, you know.
I'm glad you still feel guilty, like.
I wake up in a cold sweat sometimes, you know. So.
What, Australia? There's a first.
Yeah, but, we've had a pretty bad week. Actually, it's nice this morning, but, you know, the last couple of weeks it's been, the rain would have done Manchester proud, you know. It was really bad, yeah. We live on top of a hill, and the biggest problem we had was the pool overflowed twice, but some people got flooded out, you know. It's been really bad for some people. So,
I feel bad. Your pool overflowed. I nearly lost my grass the other month in the wind. But obviously, following from afar, how's it been? Because obviously the team's doing very well.
So I think, do you know, when I first came to Australia in the early 90s, the only time you could get any football news was a newspaper called the British Soccer Weekly, which was always a week behind. And sometimes it had non-league results in, and sometimes it didn't. And unless you phoned somebody up back home and said, what was the score? Or can you send us the pink over, you know, 2 weeks later? You would never know how anybody was doing. Now, of course, with your podcast, for example, all of the sort of the websites and joining the various groups on social media, sometimes it's a bit of information overload. But I watch the Charlton game on the telly type thing, and obviously the timing's a bit funny with it being sort of at the moment 11 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you ever get to the commentaries?
So sometimes I watch them in retrospect, but if you know the result, you keep on fast forward and just looking for the goals or whatever, you know. But I look forward to coming back and being at the International Stadium and enjoying the atmosphere, because I remember in the old days there used to be no atmosphere, you know. But yeah. I used to work with a guy called Ernie Curry. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but I used to work in the same place.
Yeah, he still does.
Yeah, and Ernie's was the only voice you would ever hear at the match, and he would be shouting, "Come on, Gateshead," and it was honestly, it was deathly silent. This was in the 70s type thing, but Ernie was a stalwart at the time, and then I realised somebody's got on the bus with him, and he worked at the same place at the ministry at Washington. A bit of a small world there as well.
It is.
But, so what's the travel arrangements then? Because coming from where you're living, I would imagine it's like a day and a half, is it?
Well, so coming there, I leave here at Sydney time. It's 11:20 in the morning. So really it's like midnight, on Thursday night your time. Singapore. And I'm stuck in Singapore for a few hours, but that's all right. And then Singapore to Heathrow, then Heathrow to Newcastle. So I actually arrive UK time around about 8:00 on Saturday morning. So it's shower, shave, breakfast. Go and see me mum and say I'll be back tonight after I've been to the match for a couple of beers and a curry. So anyway.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'd be asleep. I think I'd be missing the game.
That was the plan for Saturday. I was actually going to go into Boston, to be honest. But it just the timing didn't work out for the Boston game. So Tuesday I'll be there. Following Saturday I'll be there for Bradford Park Avenue. My daughter's actually coming over to surprise me mother. I hope it's a surprise, not a shock, for her birthday the week after.
I know your mum watches every week, so hopefully she's missed it.
But she's I've said, I'll take you to the match on the Saturday at Bradford Park Avenue. She's like she says, I hope it's not going to be cold.
tropical.
I said, no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So I'll bring her along to Bradford Park Avenue again, yeah.
Ah, oh, cool. Nice one. Find us above the tunnel doing the commentary. Gary, thank you very much for joining us. It was a very last moment thing. I thought I'd try and contact you before we came on air, and thankfully you've seen the message. And it's another pin in the map. We've had people from all over the world on, so another one from Australia. It looks more glamorous where you are than where we are.
Yeah. No, the sun's just gone in now, so I might have to go inside.
Yeah. I wouldn't get outside even in the day because it's been Baltic.
But
Gary, it's been a pleasure being on. Thanks for having us. Yeah,
hope you have a safe trip.
Nice having you, mate.
Thank you. I'll probably see you at match sometime. Yeah, okay,
definitely. You take care. Safe journey, mate.
Thank you.
There we go, Gary Palmer. There, fantastic. All the way from Australia. We weren't expecting that one, so really nice. And if you are an expat or living abroad and you follow Gated through whatever means and you're a Gated fan, we'd love to hear from you. We're always amazed how far we can reach on the podcast, and this technology, even a few years ago we couldn't have done that. So just amazing to have Gary on. So a massive thank you to Gary. If you've got any predictions and you want to send them in, please do. We'd love to hear your predictions for Saturday. I'll go for 1-0 myself. I'll be happy with that. 3 points is apparently it was us. I put this message up earlier on. It was Jake Wright that got sent off, so one of their better players. Colin Scott, he bumped into Macker at the Spennymoor versus Kidderminster game. Neither keeper had a save to make, so that sounds a drab affair there. Liv Walden, she's put 3-1 win this weekend. I'd certainly take that. Once I need a glass of water, I'm going a little bit hoarse there. Just named up me two foot. I don't know if that was audible or not, but I just absolutely knackered it off my teeth. We've got another one.
2-0. Yeah. I think I'll get 2-0. I've got a funny feeling.
Yeah, well, we've got Boston will be tough, and Kirsnash, Bradport are near winnable. Of course they are. 1 second. We've got a message here. Bernard McWilliams being a cheeky scoundrel. Thank you very much for tuning in, Bernard. We'll have him on soon. David Tron has put 3-1. I'd say there's predictions galore, but as I say, let's just hope the team can carry on the way they're going. Before we go, we'll give another mention to the quiz night in aid of the Costa Blanca Cup for the Gator FC. The inspired side. They really do need your support, and it'd be an amazing story as well for them. Yes, they're playing under the banner of Gated FC, but this reaches further than that. This is giving people an experience they'll never ever forget. That's the most important thing. We'll definitely get the lads back on, and hopefully Adam Campbell as well, to talk about it, because he's put his name to it. And let's have another little look at this. Doesn't that look beautiful? Look at them goals, man. That's just the league goals. That's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Was seeing that on Saturday, the trainer, that I looked at the league and I said, you've scored 71 goals in the season.
And yeah,
still got 10 again.
It's just unreal, isn't it? Absolutely unreal. We've got more messages coming in here. Charles Woff, hi, I'm listening in from Denton Burn. Does that count as listening in from long distance? That counts as listening in from a tropical climate, that does, in Denton Burn. Yeah. Forget Australia, that's where it's at. although don't mention any Baker Grovers, Denton Burn. So fantastic. Big thank you to everyone. Gavin Webster, if you want to get along on Sunday to the football show, always very good. I'm sure there might be a few more F-bombs dropped there, but it's always good. And Lee Kyle as well, who's fantastic with him. And John Anderson will be on telling some good old-fashioned football stories. if you fancy a read of his book, he's a very funny man, Gavin. It's hard to be funny on a podcast. You put him on the spot at times, but he's honest. He can have a room on its knees, as everyone has seen when they went to that.
About Gated as well.
He's Gated right from the end. Obviously, if anyone knows Gavin, he's a stand-up comedian, travels around the country every week. And a lot of times over the years, he's been able to take in a Gated game where he has been around the country. So, he's been a Gated fan for many, many years.
And Gary, was it Gary who was just on from South Africa, from Australia, I mean?
Yeah. Right, throughout the years, Gavin's been a fan. So get along that, and his book is out as well, and that's on Amazon, so just search Gavin Webster. And of course, there was another plug we missed. He's got his own TV series on Amazon Prime as well, so we've got that search. Gav, yes, so I've got the job for you, Gav. There's 3 episodes on there. It's quite good as well, full of local comedians playing roles in that. Right, also as well, massive thank you to Simon Johnson, GFC Ladies manager. Good luck to the GFC Ladies in the coming weekend. And Gary Palmer, thank you for coming on. And Mickey, as ever, it's been not a bad show. Thank you to everybody.
It's been funny. And congratulations to Geisley.
Yeah, I know, they've won 3-1. Get in. And also a big thank you as well to Craig Langstaff, who gave us our new, intro and outro as well, which we'll be playing as well, which will add to our YouTube game. And Jack Banham has put evening. Says Brackley fan there, of course. Bring on Kidderminster on Saturday. Well, come on, Kidderminster. We're supporting them on Saturday. I'm sorry, Jack, but we will have them on in the build-up to the...
I'd be watching Coventry anyway.
You bitch. Right, on that note, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you next Thursday.